All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Yeah, just that book they were working on. You just go.
I'm already recording. You're making me have to edit more, Kevin. Please stop talking.
Damn it.
Sorry. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of A Word Bros. The Word Bros are Kevin Cuff and myself.
And this is season 2 of Word Bros.
Episode 51 total. Last week was episode 50, so thank you.
We really have 51 episodes in the can?
This is our 50th, our 51st episode right here, the Word Bros.
Good Lord, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we some stick-to-itiveness, you know?
Yeah, that's I'm impressed. I'm going to pat you on the back right now.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
And like I'm going to pat myself on the back.
I'm going to pat myself on the back Brooklyn Brawler style for those of
no,
you.
No, that's the dude Barry Horowitz.
Is it Barry Horowitz? Is it the same guy?
No, is it?
I thought Barry Horowitz.
No, you have to look that up now. I'm telling you, it's not. Brooklyn Brawler is a different dude than Barry Horowitz.
I thought Brooklyn Brawler pattern, Barry Horowitz, PhD, principal is the first thing that came out. Wrestling. There we go. I thought Brooklyn Brawler used to pat himself on the back.
No, it was always Barry Horowitz.
Was it?
I'm telling you.
Oh, I thought that. I believe you. He was trained by Boris Malenko, Dean Malenko's dad. But that's neither here nor there. This is a conversation while we're not recording. So, yeah, man, we got a really good guest today. We have Adam Ferris on. He is the founding editor.
Yeah. Of The Good Fight.
There you go. Kevin was smart enough to get us in this anthology. It's a really great piece for a really great cause. We're really excited about it. The proceeds from this book, they all go to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is just super terrific.
And it's a great cause. It's a great cause to support. It is basically a anti-violence book about protesting some of the injustices we see every day in society and doing it through comics.
Yeah, buddy. So that's what we're here to do. We really appreciate you guys listening to the Word Bros. And now let's listen all together to Adam Ferris. Well, at least you have some familiarity of what we do. You're not just kind of walking into something blind, so that's cool.
Yeah, right?
So, I'm going to talk to these two idiots, and they're going to talk about nothing about comics until like 5 minutes until the end.
Well, at least, but you know what? That's a good feeling to know that coming in, as opposed if you get your mouth all ready for some, you know, good old-fashioned, I'm going to talk about comics, you know, and you don't get it really any of that. We just get to know the people behind the books. And today we're happy to have on a dude who's doing how much was this anthology like your creation, or is this like, are you just a piece of the puzzle, if you will, or
a little of both? Okay. So the story goes,
well, let's find out. Well, hang on. Before you go into story, we're talking to Adam Ferris, who is, I guess, part of the brains behind the operation for the book, The Good Fight. It's an anthology coming out about, like, fighting against hatred and all kinds of other fucking crappy shit that's going on out there right now. There's an amazing amount of creators on this book, and Kevin and I are on it, along with Mark Waid and Greg Pak and Chris Ryle and all these fucking comic superstars, and then Kevin and I. It doesn't make any sense.
So it's an extreme comic. Like, you have both extremes. You have nobodies like Bob and I, and then you have Mark Waid.
This is how I want you to think about The Good Fight. I think about it as an old episode of The Love Boat, and like when you're watching the credits, you see this the super guest stars like Mark Waid and Greg Pak and all these, and then like where the guest, like the at the end of the credits after the show.
You know, that was actually like one of the initial goals that I had.
Was to do a Love Boat episode?
Yeah, it's amazing. Actually, it's just a parody on the Love Boat.
No, oh, that's awesome.
I wanted to make sure that this was like a community effort. So we had all sorts of voices, and it wasn't just because I got Mark Wade early on, and I probably could have had it to where we stuck with just like comic professionals where I mean, you guys are professionals too, obviously, but like guys that have
Define
been
professional.
I mean, we're in the, if we were wrestlers, we might be like right above jobber. We're the guys that wrestle second on Saturday night.
Yeah, dude, we're ripping tickets and showing people their seats, man.
Oh.
Well, but yeah, I wanted to just combine everybody that had, you know, a voice in the matter, and we looked for just really good stories. And obviously, you know, you had to spread out like various degrees of what people are saying. You know, a lot of times when you get to put out open submissions for an anthology, you'll get a lot of the same kind of stuff because you have a theme, you know? So
yes.
I was telling somebody the other day, like 80% of the time that you, as a writer, you don't make it into an anthology is probably because you had a similar story mm-hmm. to somebody else. And for whatever reason, that one beat you out, you know? So, but yeah, this was always the thing that I wanted with this book was a mixture. It doesn't really matter who you are. Those bigger names are going to sell the book, and they actually did a phenomenal job with what they did. I'm not discrediting them there either, but, yeah, it's just about what we're saying instead of, you know, who you are in this field. So, yeah. And I'm a nobody. I'm like nobody. So, and
ain't a grand.
Yeah.
Now, but you, to be fair, yeah. I'd say you're an artist and you're a damn good one. So that makes you a little bit more desired than a writer. A writer in the comic book industry, especially at kind of on the level where Kevin and I are at, I mean, you fucking throw a rock, you'll hit a writer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at least you have like a desirable skill. Like somebody's like, oh, you're an artist, you could do sequentials, like, oh, come this way. You know, I'll try to give you money, like some kind of payment for your services. Where as a writer, it's just like, yeah, you know, I had somebody ask me the other day, are you making any money in comics? I'm like, what are you fucking nuts? Like, no. Never. I haven't made a nickel. So at least you're a little higher up. So that's nice. How long have you been doing this?
Well, first of all, it's really awkward being a aspiring comic artist.
Okay.
So for the reason of what you're saying is there's a strange ratio going on, right? Like, so I went to this one panel once at New York Comic Con, and it was like connecting artists and writers, and the intent was like really, really good, but they actually got us up out of our seats, divided the room, and put all the artists on one side and all the writers on the other, and it was like,
and they shot all the writers like nobody needs you guys.
It was like,
it was,
oh shit,
like Schindler's List for comics.
Outnumbered. It was scary. I thought if we were going to get in a fight, they were going to win because there were so much more of them.
Yeah.
But so then they were like, all right, now mingle, because now you know who the artists are. Now you know who the writers are. And it was like getting mobbed. Like I had like five writers around me trying to see my portfolio at the same time. And it was just like, oh my God, this is so scary.
This panel sounds like it was arranged on like some kind of drunken stupor where like, you know what, let's just fucking make this thing as chaotic as possible.
It was arranged by writers, apparently.
We'll separate the writers and the artists, and then we'll just have them fight to the death. All right, let's do it.
It, you know, it's one of those like the road to hell is paved with good intentions,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's hard being, I mean, because I've never experienced it on your end, but as a writer, it's hard finding like an artist who is good at telling a story sequentially, but who's also willing to kind of do the work. Like, have you found a similar experience with writers? Like, tell me about your writer's nightmare. Like, what's one story?
That's a good one.
As an artist, when you've worked with a writer that's just been like a total fucking horror show.
I've been pretty fortunate so far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I've gotten to be pretty good friends with any writer that I've worked with so far, and we've been able to hash out ideas, and I try to find somebody that's open to criticism, because I'm open to criticism. I want the writer to be able to be like, this page doesn't work, or that panel doesn't work, or that design doesn't work. And I want to be able to give that same kind of feedback to a writer. And I think that's really important, just, you know, to have a good creative team like that. And if you, I can say a long time ago, I was so hungry to get this thing going. I did connect with a writer, and it was just kind of a cluster, because you got to pick something that like appeals to you, you know?
Yes. And
as an artist, it takes so long to draw a page. And if you're drawing something that doesn't appeal to you or feels like a hot mess, it's agony, you know? So just, you know, I'm just more careful now, like what I pick up.
Okay. Well, Kevin and I have always, it's the hill we'll die on, is when you're looking for, if you're a writer and you're looking for an artist, the first question you should ask that artist is, hey, what do you like to draw?
Like, yes.
That's a good icebreaker, because if you just come in guns blazing with, I've got a 12 issue maxi series about guys in office buildings and cars, you're never going to fucking find anybody to draw them.
And they ride horses. Yes. It's done right there. Once you say
horses. More horses.
It's
more
a
horses.
Book about buildings who ride horses to cars. It's like, no one's ever going to want to draw that. So it's good to kind of have that first conversation, be like, hey, I enjoy your artwork. I think you're really awesome.
Well, to be fair, we usually look at their stuff first, because one of us will say, hey, look at this guy's stuff, it's really awesome, and then we'll go, oh yeah, that's cool, or I'll go, oh yeah, that's really cool, like what else can they draw, and then usually I'll just ask.
Yeah, but then one of the first questions though is, what do you like
to draw?
Right,
that's, yeah. As it should be, that is the appropriate first question. Not only are you going to be able to see if they click with you and you click with them, but like, it's an icebreaker too, if you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, the idea is to not have them drawing something they hate drawing. If they say, I fucking hate drawing anthropomorphic animals, I go, well, Bob's fucking crazy anthropomorphic animal, talking frog, muscle men comic is not going to work for this. Yeah. This is not the right guy for what we were trying to do. But, you know, or girl.
I meant guy without any gender.
Yeah. I was thinking that because I was just thinking
a dude.
Dude, exactly. Dude.
Everybody's a dude.
Exactly.
Everybody is a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, when we came up with Word Bros, that's what we were like, well, anyone can be a Word Bro.
Anybody's a bro. We're all bros in the biblical sense.
But that's like, the thing, like you're saying, Adam, I mean I totally agree with that, is because like, you might just end up clicking on all cylinders with that particular artist, except for they don't want to draw that book that you were really hyped to do at that moment, and you're like,
man.
So you had the good fight at NYCC. How did that thing go over? Were people jazzed about it?
I went in excited about it, and I wasn't even thinking about how people were going to react to it. And so first of all, we got the ash can. So it was just two of the stories out of the, I think we have 42 stories right now.
Oh, wow. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's a big one. So we had those printed off in black and white. The final book would be in full color, but I had 325 of them, printed. That's all I'm gonna make of those, and I gave them out for free, and it was pretty great. People were, by the end of the weekend, coming up to me and telling me that they really enjoyed the book, and
that's awesome.
Get passed around and stuff. Yeah, and yeah, I was blown away by its positive reception. So you never know, especially with like scary social issues, like, you know,
yeah.
Somebody could take it the wrong way or something like that.
If they take it the wrong way, then fuck them. They're probably not going to be involved or interested in what you're doing here anyway, you know? Like, I've read the ash can and I'm not taking this anyway, but yeah, good job, guys. Let's do more of this stuff, you know? So if you look at this and go, hey, man, why are you making these Nazi assholes look like assholes?
Because they're assholes, yeah.
Then you kind of don't want them on your team per se, you know what I'm saying?
and also, like, how'd this come about, Adam? How did the initial inception of the Good Fight come about? Was this just go into that, because I think people would be interested in how it's transformed from when we first signed on to this to now, you know?
Yes, so last year, August 12th, the Charlottesville chaos happened with the protests, and that's when the car drove through the crowd, injured, I think it was 17 people, killed Heather Hare. And I was just like watching it on Twitter, the whole thing unfold like all day. And I just had a sick feeling in my stomach. And by the end of it, I just threw it out there. I said on Twitter, if anybody wants to make a anti-white supremacist anthology, I'm down. Me being an artist, I was just intending on just doing the art for a story, but by the next day I had so many replies like, yeah, let's do this. What do we do now? Suddenly I was in charge of it. So I never intended to, start this anthology. I just wanted to draw one of the little stories in it. So, I'm glad. I'm happy to be in the position now where I am with this. So, because I feel like I have a level-headed response to everything that's going on. I decided early on that I don't know how to put an anthology together. So I got some great people to help me. We have Michael Perlman. He's the production manager, the project manager. And he put together Where We Live, from Image, about the shooting in Las Vegas.
Okay.
That was a huge, huge anthology. We also have Danny Lohr. Danny is the editor from The Wilds and also edits a magazine called Faya. Mm-hmm. Danny's been amazing to work with. They've been editing the stories and really just giving it the right voice and direction overall. We've also decided early on that all of the proceeds are going to go to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah, so nobody, not a single creator on this book, there's tons of them, are getting paid for it.
What?
No. Yeah. No.
I quit. Free work. I quit this.
We out.
Podcast is over. Actually, my real response should be, people get paid for doing this? That's crazy. Okay.
Only if you make metal sharks, bro.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about something stupid like that. We're talking about things that matter today. So
So if you want to do something that matters, no, you're not getting paid.
You know what, though? Such is life. And it's a really great cause. It's a really great book. I'm really excited. Yeah. Eric Palicki, I think, is running the Kickstarter, because the Kickstarter launches November 12th, correct?
That's correct, yeah. And he is a Kickstarter guru, so... that was another thing. I'd never run a Kickstarter, just supported them. So I was like, I'm not going to do that.
So what happened for you is you saw something on TV, some terrible news story. You were outraged. And then all of a sudden now you're creating this monstrosity of an anthology piece. And then you just, at some point you just went, well, I can't do this. This is fucking ridiculous. And that's good on you that you were smart enough to bring in people to help.
Yeah,
you know what? That's the sign of real leadership, is when you, when you realize you have this moment and you go, you know what? I can't do this alone. I need help. And so you bring in people that know what they're doing. That's a real leader, dude.
You mean unlike us drinking hot sauce on Facebook Live?
That was you. That was you. I mean, yeah, it was your thing.
Yeah, but I in contrast, yeah, like there's the difference.
Yeah, that's very smart.
I hate to break it to you, but you're gonna have to do that again for this Kickstarter.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's just hot sauce. My gut survived once.
And to be honest with you, man, I don't know. Like something like this, it's such a cool idea. It's such a cool story. You have so many monster creators. You know, I don't think Kevin will have to drink hot sauce. I don't think you'll have to worry about cheap parlor tricks for something like this. I think it'll. Yeah. I think it'll have enough of legs on its own, because there are a lot of people out there. My wife being one of them. Myself, like, you watch the news and you watch the things happening and you just get so distressed and you're so, you know, so almost you put it to the side because you can't deal with it on a daily basis because it seems like it never ends. And you have something like this where you can go, you know what, I can help in some way. Like if I give money to this book, this money will go directly to the people who know how to fight what I want to fight, that know how to do the things that I cannot do. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I mean, that's some heavy shit. How did you get involved with those dudes? Like, did you just call them up and tell them what was happening? Were they eager to accept?
We're just gonna give them money. I mean,
oh, that's cool. Okay. Okay. I thought it was cool.
You can donate anything you want to them.
That's awesome.
I do plan on contacting them and see if we can get their blessing. I just want to show them a little bit more than what we have at the moment. We just started Art Duties. So once we get that rolling a little bit further, I'm going to be like, this is what we have.
That's awesome.
It's a peaceful, intellectual book. It's not promoting violence or anything like that. So, you know, and we want to give you all of the money that we raise for it.
Which is really amazing. And it's very cool.
And I mean, that's one of the reasons why we were so drawn to it. Bob and I ourselves were so drawn to doing the project, as it was like, it's not a violent, like, I mean, it's not, I'm not going to say I wouldn't punch a Nazi in the face, because I fucking would, but I mean, that's not the whole idea of what we're trying to, or you're trying to do with this book. Like, it's not the, the main force behind it is an impetus for change and nonviolent change, which I have to respect a lot more. I mean, punching Nazis in the face is all good and stuff, but you probably shouldn't punch anyone, except the Nazis.
Well, yeah. And you know, this has come up to me, a couple times because of this book. And, you know, it always seems like on our side of the fence, it's kind of the debate, like, should we punch them? you know, I think my official stance is, yes, they deserve to get punched in the face, but you're really only giving them fuel.
Yeah.
Whenever you punch them in the face, they use that as a recruitment tool, and they get stronger from it because of their, like, martyrdom and whatnot. I didn't know who Richard Spencer was until I saw a video of him getting punched in the face. So if, like, you need any more proof than that, you know.
I like I've always subscribed to the kind of Michelle Obama, where she just said, you know, when they go low, we go high. So, and I think this is a good example of that. And the stories that you have in the ash can, I mean, they're very much in, like, the vein of, like, a Twilight Zone, like the idea of, like, you know, twists and turns and kind of fun. Like the statue idea is amazing. Like, that's such a good little story written by Ian A. Mordrick, who I don't know.
Mordrick.
It's written by Skylar Partridge. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the whole book going to be in black and white? Cause I kind of dig it. It's got a good vibe to it because it kind of keeps with that Twilight Zone vibe.
Well, it is going to get colored.
That's cool.
Just the ash can's black and white. When we were drawing these two stories, I knew that they were going to go in the ash can. So I drew the first story, Skylar drew the second story, and I told her, I was like, so this ash can will be in black and white. So if you want to do anything artistically that kind of makes that work on a black and white alone basis, and she did. She ran with it. And in my story, I added, like, tones and stuff like that. It works in black and white, but the rest of it, all of it, will end up being colored.
That's fantastic. Now, what else are you working on besides this monstrosity of a project? Do you have any, like, personal things that you're working on? Like, I'm not saying that this is a personal, but are you working on any pitches or any other books? You got anything else out there that people can look up for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they kind of have to wait till they can look it up, but I am working on a graphic novel with SourcePoint Press. It's called
Nice.
Yeah, it's called Parallel. Good. Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Those are some nice dudes over there, man. They're some good cats.
I love them. Yeah, I love them. They're from my neck of the woods too. So I get to hang out with them all the time. They're great.
That's fantastic. Now what is this book about?
This Parallel is, it's, by the way, it's written by a guy named Jason Brooks. He's new to comics, but he writes a lot of plays and things. So
that's cool.
His break into comics. So it is about this guy that ends up meeting his parallel self after becoming unhappy with his own life. And he realizes kind of like the fork in the road of the wrong decision that he made in his life that made him unhappy. And his other parallel self comes to confront him about that. So it's kind of a drama, kind of a sci-fi, it's also, it's actually in black and white. So if you like my black and white art, you're going to like that.
It's awesome. And I love the idea of meeting your parallel self.
Like, yeah, that's cool.
I'm always a sucker for shit like that. Like that, it, when you're talking about like sci-fi kind of mechanics, parallel self is always a good one. And I love the Invasion of the Body Snatchers style.
Oh yeah.
Like fiction, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, who's the monster? You know, that's, if you do that shit, I'm in. Like, I'm lock stock. I'm over. That's great.
Well,
that's
what if you are your parallel self? Because,
oh my God,
I'm apparently the evil version of me.
You do look kind of evil right now. I love it.
It's true. Oh, it's all the black, man. It just blends. Well, Adam, man, well, we really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Do you have anything else? You listen to the podcast. You know what we do here.
Oh, man.
Is there anything in particular where you said that you were like you felt like you were a part of the show? Anything in particular you would like to chime on?
Shoot. I wasn't prepared for that.
those are our best reactions right there.
Yeah.
That's
no, I mean, fun. I just keep doing what you're doing, guys. I love the
stop it. You're just saying that.
I'm just kissing you through a computer. I just love the guests that you have on and the energy you bring, and it's fun to talk to you guys. So
thanks, man.
Yeah, we try to be fun.
Yeah, and it's fun to talk to you. So everybody's happy here on the Word Bros podcast. The Kickstarter launches November 12th. Look out for that. I mean, how much are you asking for? Do you mind me asking?
15,000.
Ah, dude, you have like 1,000 creators. You'll get that in no time flat. It's a beautiful book, and it's a great cause, and it's really an amazing thing. And frankly, I'm speaking for Kevin here, but we've talked about this privately. Like, we're honored to be a part of it, and so thank you for having us.
Yeah,
very cool, man.
I love your story.
Oh, thanks. That was all Kevin's idea, I think. I can't remember. It seems because this thing has been in production for like, it seems like 2 years, because it's gone through various channels.
Yeah,
a year
and 2 months. Yeah, we had some hiccups midway through, but we got it back on track. And
well, it just makes sense when you're dealing with a project this big. Of course, there's going to be hiccups. Like, it's just natural.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps people away from doing anthologies, because there's so many moving parts now. You farmed a lot of that stuff out because you realized you couldn't do it. But at some point, were you bummed out because you didn't think the book was going to happen or anything?
There was a moment that I was like, oh shit, it's over. And I got to say, like, big shout out to Eric Palicki, man. He was like, no, listen, we're going to make this work. We'll figure it out. You know, we'll get through this. This has to happen. And I was like, all right. And he held me together. He really did. He's such a great guy. If you've ever
met him. Super nice dude. Yes.
Yeah.
We've had him on once. We tried to get him on again, but I think his schedule didn't match ours for that 1 week. So.
And I think he's out west too, which is harder. West Coast is tougher for us to do because we're East Coast dudes with kids who need sleep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but you know,
he held me together.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, it's really, it looks like an exciting project. I'm excited to be involved, as is Kevin, as is Drew. It's going to be really great, man. So once again, thank you for having us. So.
Yeah, thank you. Something that you guys may or may not know that's pretty interesting about the book is the cover to the Ashcan. That is actually just the cover to the Ashcan and not the final book. It was drawn by Christian Ward.
Okay.
He's doing Thor right now. He did Black Bolt. He's amazing.
Wow, nice.
He's actually going to be creating another cover for the final publication.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's going to be sweet. And then we are going to have a special announcement once the Kickstarter starts with the Kickstarter exclusive cover. So you'll have an option. This will get published. Can't talk about much yet. This will get published post Kickstarter.
That's cool.
If you're down and you're back in the Kickstarter, you can get this exclusive cover.
Now, if I'm interested in seeing more of this, like maybe I wasn't at NYCC and I want to see the ash can, where could I go get that? Do you have available online somewhere?
We haven't put it up yet, but we are willing to give it out for free. If you want to hit me up on Twitter with your email, I will gladly send it to you for free, the PDF of the
ash can. That's awesome.
What's your Twitter?
Yeah, my Twitter is Adam_Ferris_art.
Lovely. And that's Ferris.
Correct.
Yep. Yes. So Adam_Ferris. Did you say _art or just Adam_Ferris_art?
Underscore.
No. It's another underscore.
All underscores. All these underscores, man. You're making my fucking brain hurt. It's crazy, man. It's about, my head's going to explode.
It was a poor choice when I made that handle. I understand.
You know what you should have done? You should have just done an underscore after every letter.
Oh my God. It'd just be so long.
A_D_A_M.
There was already another Kevin Cuff, so I had to use the underscore. So I get it.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's somebody else.
There's another artist named Adam Ferris with two S's.
Maybe it's your fucking parallel universe self.
Oh, it is.
Oh God.
That would be awesome. Now let me ask you a question. Be honest. Is he better than you?
Well, he's totally different than me. He doesn't.
That's not the question I asked, Adam. question.
No, I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm
better. Let's go kick his ass.
Who's on the Word Bros podcast? Clearly it's me, so I'm better.
Well, to be fair, we reached out to the other Adam, but he was really busy. He had a lot of shit going on. Like, he was like, you know what, guys? I'm doing this, like, pro-Nazi book that I got. It's a lot of – so he's parallel you, dude. It's fucking weird.
Oh, man. I gotta not fight him.
And I probably should edit that out, because if there is a real other Adam Ferris, he's like, I'm not a fucking Nazi, you asshole.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah. So I should probably edit that out. But it was really, you know what? The joke was worth it for us.
Yeah. Just show us laughing and then tell him.
You'll never know what we said about you. Now I got to look him up on Twitter to see if he's like tougher looking than me.
He's gonna fight you.
I mean, you know what? I don't punch Nazis because I don't like being punched.
Well, the parallel universe, you, Bobby, is Snow. Like, you're a Canadian rapper.
That's true. So, I was a very successful Canadian rapper in my past life. But you know,
I mean,
congratulations, I guess.
Thanks, man. I mean, I think being Canadian's pretty rad. You know, I could.
You guys got the best chips. So
the best chips. We have soccer and legal weed.
I mean, yeah. And you have public health care, so that's all.
And legal weed.
I mean,
as of yesterday, so.
I'm not smoking weed, not even.
But I'm just saying, if it's legal, it's not that big of a deal.
Do you think they'll change the flag now? Do you think it'll be like a cannabis leaf? I had to go there. I'm sorry. I'm apologizing.
Yeah, I know you did.
For me, it would have to be a bag of all-dressed chips, and then I'll show up. I'll be there.
Oh, they should put just like munchy food on their flag. Be like a bag of Doritos on the flag.
I love Canada.
I think Canadians are awesome. So I'm like, I'm with them. I'm 100% with Canadians. But they're going to be mad at us because we're like saying, can they change the maple leaf to a cannabis?
Oh, that's totally disrespectful to us, eh? I'm not doing that. That's not cool. So, all right, Adam. Well, thank you very much. I have to edit all this out because we're just slandering all kinds of people. the good fight, November 12th.
November 12th.
Kickstarter. Keep your eyes open for that. We'll share the link. It'll be all over the place. Get involved in this book now. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
That was was Adam Ferris. He is the editor, the creator, I guess, the brains behind.
The organizer? When you're talking anthologies, it's tough because, like, usually they list it under the main editor's name as the author credit.
Well, here you go. I have the ash can open right here. So he is the founding editor.
There you go. Nice.
So the founding editor of The Good Fight, that'll be on Kickstarter November 12th. Keep an eye out for that. It's an anthology book.
And also founding editor sounds fancy as fuck.
It does. And it features stories from Mark Wade, J.H. Williams, Greg Pak, Chris Rao, Greg Rucka, Erica Schultz, Jay Fawcett, who's a wonderful guy, Stephen Leiber, Eric Palicki, Taylor Esposito, Natasha Alteresi.
Alteresi.
She is badass. That book that they were working on is totally fucking sweet. Dude, that heathen book is fucking dope. So yeah, there's too many talented people on this. Pat Shan, myself, Kevin, Drew Moss. I don't know how this happened, but it did, and here we are. So it'll be on Kickstarter on the 12th of November.
So go get it.
Yeah, buddy.
Go get it. You're going to want to read them stories.
So that's it, everybody. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to have Drew Moss on because he is a wonderful dude. He's got a book coming out soon, so we might as well talk to one of our closest and dearest friends, right?
Yeah, because we love him, and yeah. You guys love him too.
Yep. So we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much, and we are the Word Bros. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.